Good morning, everyone. It is good to have you here, Lifehouse Church. All right. So we're on this unpredictable series for you. Bob and I know what we'll be talking about, but it's unpredictable for you because this is not a very clear title. It kind of is a open-ended. We can like talk about whatever we want. And 2 weeks ago, I was talking about common courtesies, and I only got halfway through Proverbs 25. So, I know, right? So we're going to finish that today. Before I launch into the message, I would like to share with you the difference between potential energy and kinetic energy. Is there anyone out there that already knows the difference between potential and kinetic energy? We've got 4 or 5. Thank you. All right, good. Then you guys get to learn something. Okay, so go ahead and throw up the first graphic. Potential energy is stored energy, that there is intrinsic in the item the ability to do work, to accomplish something, but it's not. It has the ability to accomplish something, but it's not accomplishing anything. It's just sitting there. It's not really exercising any work. Kinetic energy is when the potential energy is transferred into actual work. And now all of a sudden there's motion, there's action, something is being accomplished. That's kinetic energy. Hence my little diagram here, my little display. We have ourselves a ramp, and here we have our little Tonka car of some kind. When it is sitting up here, it's loaded with potential energy, specifically gravitational potential energy, but let's not confuse the matter. It's got potential energy. It has the ability to accomplish some work. I just give it a little nudge, and whoa, and there she goes. That was kinetic energy. As motion happened, work was being accomplished, and so the potential energy is transferred into kinetic energy. Thank you. That is your physics lesson for today. Why would I spend valuable time talking about that? It's because when we went through the book of Ephesians, it's like a hook has been stuck in me over the verse in Ephesians 1 about the potential energy inside a true believer in Christ, that the Holy Spirit in us is a deposit of incredible potential energy. Ephesians 1 says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. All right? We need to understand something here, that God has incredible power for those who believe. He says, this is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. If you have come to a point in your life where you have repented of your sins and you have placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ for eternal life, not being good enough, not going to church enough, not just being better than that guy, but your trust is in Jesus to get you to heaven, then you have the Holy Spirit in you. Bible says, boom, the moment you believe, the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit encompasses the very power of God, and it's inside of you. Do you believe that? That's part of the problem. We don't really believe that because we really don't see that. It's potential energy in you. And you need a nudge to get that potential energy to activate into kinetic energy, into actually experiencing the power of God in your life. Guys, you can be more than you can be. Philippians tells us, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You can be more than you can be. Well, I can only be what I can be. No, because of Christ in you, you can be more than you can be. that God's energy working at you can transform your life to such a degree that you and I could be more than we otherwise would have ever been. There's incredible potential energy in you guys. And as we finish up Proverbs 25, some of this instruction is so rubber meets the road practical, and you'll think, well, you know, I've lived X number of years, and there's just no change in me anymore. Then that potential energy just sits there, and it won't move. But if you go through this Proverbs 25, and you're thinking, wow, I don't know how I could ever change to be like that, then you're fine, because you're acknowledging that you need to understand. I need to understand, God, how can I be like this? How could I be a person that exercises common courtesies on a consistent basis? The power of Christ in you. God's power can change you into more than you are. More than you could ever dream. Let's pray for that. Lord Jesus, I want to ask you, God, to release your power in us. It's there. It's in its potential form, and it's there, and for some of us, it's been sitting there for a lot of years. And only every so often we see a little glimmer of possible change. It was just a flash in the pan. Oh, Lord, I pray we would take you at your word. You tell us that we have incredible power. You gave us your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to tap into that. This morning, may your word be the nudge that we need to turn this potential energy into genuine kinetic energy, a lifelong transformation in us to be like you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, 2 weeks ago can seem like an eternity for many of us, so I'm going to do a quick review. This time, complete with pictures and verses. I know, right? So, verse number one. Okay, here we go. This is our review. All right, the first verse we looked at Proverbs 25 was, it's God's privilege to conceal things and the king's privilege to discover them. Now, this verse, of course, is talking about how it's the king's glory to search out and discover the truth of a matter so he can make a right judgment. And so, what oftentimes can happen, and whether this is personality or upbringing, I don't know, but there can be a behavior in us to try to figure out what's going on in other people's lives. And it's annoying, and it's a violation of a common courtesy when you try to pry into other people's lives. And this can look like a lot of different things, asking way too many questions, asking too personal of questions, etc. And it's like, guys, we just got to stop doing that. How can we then love one another? This is how. First of all, you ask for permission. You ask a question for permission to talk about a particular area. Can we talk about what happened last night? You know, you ask a question. Then you need to be okay with a no. If they say, no, I don't feel comfortable doing that, you've got to be okay. You ask the question. Don't think that it's got to be a yes or you're going to stomp away mad. It's okay if they say no. That's where they're at. Respect it. Ask a question. And what was the other one? Ask a question, or if you are invited, the person will invite you. Hey, I could use some help with this. I've got a problem here. If they invite you, then with humility, go ahead. Only two times that that would be changed is what we call an intervention. An intervention where somebody has got a pattern in their life that is headed for disaster. It's going to be a train wreck. Multiple people see it, and they will have an intervention. That's generally not something you need to be concerned about, but sometimes it does happen, an intervention. The other is if there are authorities that need to be brought to bear in your life. If you're independent, you have an authority, they have a responsibility, your parents have a responsibility, of inserting themselves into your life to help direct you off from going off the cliff. The parents have an authority. There's also authorities that keep you from breaking the law. even if that breaking of law is an attempt on suicide, if there's any claim to suicide, it is our responsibility to turn that over to an authority. And so that's the other time when you would not, you know, honor this common courtesy of respecting people's privacy. Okay, the next one was verses 4 and 5. Remove the impurities from silver, and the sterling will be ready for the silversmith. Remove the wicked from the king's court, and his reign will be made secure by justice. This verse is sharing the principle that we are not immune to negative influences. You will end up behaving like those that you spend most of your time with. You can just take it to the bank. You will. You might think, well, I'm going to be the one to influence them. If you're outnumbered, you're the one that's going to get influenced. Just trust God on this one. If you're around wicked people, it will influence you. You got to remove the wicked from your midst. Well, then how are we going to influence people for Christ? There's safety in numbers. Go in pairs. Jesus always sent off his disciples in pairs. Don't think you're going to go in there like the dread champion and you're going to change them all for Jesus. It's not going to work out. On rare occasion it does, but I'm going to just tell you, it's not going to work out. Go in numbers. Then what about if I'm the only friend? You got to limit the exposure. Make the primary friends and influences in your life people that you want to be like. People that you be like, that you respect, that are good, honorable people. That's the people you want to spend most of your time with. And they will rub off on you, and vice versa. So just remember, you're not immune to influence. Remove the wicked from the king's court. Remove them from your presence, and you will be made secure. Next one, verses 6 and 7. Don't demand an audience with the king or push for a place among the great. It's better to wait for an invitation to the head table than to be sent away in public disgrace. And we specifically called out the behavior called one-upping. You know, everybody's like, one-upping, you know? It's like, I got more medals than you. It seems like no matter what you might say to somebody, they're going to be able to one-up you, whether it's on the positive or the negative. You know, their life is even worse than yours, or that you even got more money in the bank than theirs. Whatever it might be, they always one-up you. And that is a violation of a common courtesy. Guys, don't rob somebody of sharing something with you, whether it's a sorrow or a joy. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Don't try to one-up them and rob it by saying, well, you think that's bad. You should have saw what happened to me last week. No! Come on! Show a little bit of love. The common courtesy is to just rejoice with them or mourn with them. Don't try to rob them of their experience. And in fact, verse 27 in Proverbs 25 is very interesting. It says, it is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glory to search out one's own glory. Where you're just trying to get everybody else to look at you, recognize you, see me, look what I've done. And all you're trying to do is draw attention to yourself. Proverbs say, guys, that's just not good. That actually repulsive to people. They'll eventually want to back away because all you can think about is yourself. All the better to make Jesus the one that you want to notice you. Let's think. We're going to keep going here. Let's go to verse 8 and 10. 10. Okay. Just because you've seen something, don't be in a hurry to go to court or to judge them. For what will you do in the end if your neighbor deals you a shameful defeat? When arguing with your neighbor, don't betray another person's secret. Others may accuse you of gossip, and you will never regain your good reputation. Guys, this is it could fall in that realm of gossip and slander, talking about people behind their back. It's a violation of a common courtesy. Just don't go there. It's one of those things to try to compensate an insecurity in your life. You're insecure in who you are, and so you are feeling tasked. This is my job, is to make everybody else look worse than me by telling everybody else how worse they are. And you're thinking you're accomplishing something by making yourself look good. Well, no, it doesn't. What does it do? It makes people think less of you. The more you talk negatively about other people, the more other people will think negatively of you. I'm just saying, this is what Proverbs 25 is telling us. And we would do well to learn that way. It's like, well, I've been doing that all my life. It's a habit. I can't help myself. Potential energy to kinetic energy. You can change. So can I. It's a powerful thing when we do. It's a God thing when we do. So, we're moving on. Verse 12. Let's go to verse 12. Okay. To one who listens, valid criticism is like a gold earring or other gold jewelry. When we talked about this 2 weeks ago, I focused on you receiving the criticism. You're the one receiving the criticism. If you receive that, if you listen to that, you actually don't look less. You know, we oftentimes think that. You know, it's like, Josh, when you do that, it really bothers me. We're thinking, oh, I feel less. No, and if Josh receives that, if he embraces that, then all of a sudden I think higher of Josh. I think more of Josh because he received the criticism. This verse, though, is specifically aimed at the person giving the criticism. If you are able to, you know, reveal something that's not so positive in somebody's life, you're talking to that person, not to somebody else about that person. If you're able to share a criticism, a concern about somebody's life in a gracious, loving, respectful way, it's going to be, it will be an honorable thing. They will love you for that. If you're able, you know, rather than stop doing that, it's bothering me. No, there's no win there. But if you're able to say, hey, you know, when you leave the toothpaste top open, it kind of gets dried and stuff. It's kind of wasteful and it's kind of hard, difficult for me. Wow. I appreciate you sharing that. I didn't realize that was such a problem. I'll make every effort to change. And so, if you're the one sharing the criticism, make sure it's valid, make sure it's done with great respect, and you be like a gold earring or other gold jewelry. Beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, verse 13. Trustworthy messengers refresh like snow in summer. They revive the spirit of their employer. Very interesting verse. I skipped this one last week because we were kind of running out of time. But I wanted to mention it here because it is so valid. Now, this is probably not a good time to be talking about snow during the summer. I mean, we're sick of it. But think about the summer for a moment. Think about the hottest day in summer. You know, it's crazy hot. You just want to find a pool somewhere, but you find in the shade of a tree somewhere a lump of pure snow. I mean, it's cold. It's just, oh, you put it on your hot neck or wherever. It's just a great thing, you know. Maybe you melt it in a cup and you drink it. That's the idea here. The idea here is that it's refreshing. So also is a trustworthy, or other versions say, a faithful messenger. When you can depend on somebody, it is a relief to you. It is so pleasing to you. So that means you want to be a faithful or trustworthy person. If somebody gives you a responsibility, then be like snow during the summertime for them. Be faithful. Be trustworthy. If you accept the responsibility to do something, then do it. Be faithful with it. The scriptures encourage us to do so. Faithful people are refreshing people. Otherwise, not so much. Verse 15. Patience can persuade a prince, and soft speech can break bones. Remember talking about this one? It's like, why would I want to break somebody's bones? It is, you know, it's like, what's the idea is that the power of a lion's jaws were such that they could break bones. At that time, there were lions in Israel. And they would see that the lion would chomp down on a person's bone. It would break it because of the power. It's saying there is power in soft speech. Whatever. If I talk softly, they act like they never knew me, so I need to yell. Does it really produce that much better of a result? Well, maybe it might initially, but I'm telling you this. You're hearing it right now. Down the road, you're not going to see the results you're hoping for. If you are given to yelling at people in order to get them to do what you want to do, down the road, they're going to do the exact opposite of what you want them to do. And you'll wish that you had learned the proverb of using soft speech, looking them in the eye, speaking respectfully and gracefully to them. That is power in that. The Bible says so much power to break a bone. And that is a truth to live by. Verse 16, I believe we are now on to common courtesies number 2. This is now all new material. So you might want to break out your Bibles, underline verses, jot down notes. Verse 16, do you like honey? Don't eat too much or it will make you sick. Has anybody here eaten so much of a particular food that now you can't stand it? Yes, bananas. Well, I remember the story, and I've always liked the story. Mother, for a season of her young life, spent some time in Hawaii. What? Samoa. And ate an abundance of bananas there. And now even the odor of them makes her sick. She can't even stand bananas, which are so delicious. But she can't stand them because she ate so much, and now her body just reacts psychologically, physiologically, who knows, but it doesn't like it anymore. Guys, the scriptures are giving us a good warning here. We need to have this mentality towards food. We eat to live. We don't live to eat. And this is an axiom that really is sometimes repeated. It's lifted from the scriptures. You get it from the Bible. God's wisdom, all wisdom is God's wisdom. True wisdom is God's wisdom. And so we've got to put food in its proper place in our lives. And if all you're doing is thinking about food, talking about food, I'm not going to go to that meeting because there's not any food. Will that guy stop talking so I can go and get some food? Then what are you saying there? What are you saying? What are you saying about what is ruling your life? You're thinking, well, it's me because I just like to eat, is it? When you're making decisions based on whether food is available or not, then food is making the decision. Food is your God. Philippians tell us that there are people whose their God is their stomach. And they make decisions based on the availability and the presence of food. And it's all about food. We should not be this way. You know, it was like at the marriage conference, the speaker was talking about how he was fasting. And he was going for a prayer walk, and he stopped during his prayer walk. He says, I looked at my stomach, and I said, I know you're hungry, but I'm not going to feed you. You don't rule me. I rule you, and guess what? You're not getting any food. Powerful, powerful story. We can do that. Potential energy into kinetic energy. Food does not have to rule your life. You can rule it. There you go. This Cartwright put this spin on that verse. He says it's much. That was a different verse. We're good. We're going to skip that. Let's move on. 17. Don't visit your neighbors too often, or you will wear out your welcome. Okay. This is interesting because the NAS, which is an actual transliteration, which means it goes right from the Greek to the English in its purest way. It actually phrases this verse this way. Listen, let your foot rarely be in your neighbor's home, or he will become weary of you and hate you. That is what the original Greek Hebrew actually says. He will hate you. Sheesh, could it really get that bad? Well, I've experienced that on both ends. We had some neighbors once who were over at our place so often that sometimes we would hide so they wouldn't know that we were there. How bad is that? We considered them friends, but we would hide because they came over all the time. You know how I'm thinking? It's out years ahead. I'm a college student. I hear that this one guy on my floor made a profession of faith in Jesus. I'm so excited. I want to get him involved in everything. So I'm going over to his room all the time, and I'm not getting the hint. I'm not getting the hint that he did it only to get the girl. He prayed with a pretty girl, and he was trying to get the girl. And he kept on saying, no, no, no. I go over to invite him to see a movie. I thought, surely he will come and see a movie with me. And he blew up at me. And I remember it to this day. And I learned a big lesson. Read the nonverbals. If they're giving short answers, if they're saying no all the time, if they're asking you, why do you want to know? That is a clue that you are wearing out your welcome. This can happen physically, visiting people. It can happen with phone calls. It can happen with texting. You know, emoticon after emoticon after emoticon gets a little bit wearing. You know, when you're in a group chat and all of a sudden people start leaving, get a clue. It could be you, because you keep going and sending these little emoticons all the time, and it's driving people crazy. Don't wear out your welcome. Don't drive people to the point where they hate you, because you are just constantly intervening in their life or distracting them or whatever. That's where Cartwright comes in. He said it's much better is God's friendship than man's. We are more welcome to God the oftener we come to him. You see, people, we get worn out. God, big heart, really big heart. Lots of time, you know, eternal kind of comes with, I've got time for you. I'm infinite. You know, you're welcome here. I like Cartwright's thought. How much better is God's friendship than man's? We are more welcome to God the oftener we come to him. Powerful, powerful little tip. Okay, verse 18. Telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow. Oh, but it was just a white lie. Oh, it's not going to hurt anybody. You know, I didn't want to be embarrassed. Lying is as bad as beating them with a blunt instrument or even a sharp instrument. It's bad. That's what the scriptures are saying. Lying does more damage to people than you think. A friend of mine in Ames feels like it is the worst sin a human being can commit to another. He feels that way because if you think you can get away with lying, then you will think you can get away with murder, which is actually the worst thing you could ever do to another human being. But he puts lying above it. Lying is really the most disrespectful, hateful, hurtful thing you could do. So stop it. It violates a severe common courtesy and as well as a command of God. So, and this also involves in the whole kidding around thing. There's another proverb that talks about like shooting firebrands is somebody who goes around and just says, oh, I was only kidding. You know, I was only kidding. Well, then all of a sudden you don't know whether the person's kidding or telling the truth. You know, the boy who cried wolf. So thinking that you're kidding, but you take it too far, you go too much, it's as bad as this. You are ruining, injuring relationships. So stop it. Verse 20, let's go to the word. Singing, here we go. Singing cheerful songs to a person with a heavy heart is like taking someone's coat in cold weather or pouring vinegar on a wound, you know, pouring lemon juice on a paper cut. That's what it's like. How fun is that? Yeah, not too much. So what's that thing? What's that saying? It's saying, don't take people's pain lightly. One upping does that. It takes people's pain lightly. But when somebody is hurting, mourn with those who mourn. Don't just, oh, it's not that bad. Oh, you'll get over it. Here, have a cookie. You know, don't minimize people's pain. Don't just try to sing a song. There's a little story that came with this one. I thought this was interesting. This guy, Keith Weston, he told a fellow minister who was making his first hospital visit. He said, quote, he found a poor patient with both legs strung up to pulleys, both arms in plaster, and an intravenous in one of them. And he said, with a big evangelical smile and taking out his big evangelical Bible, brother, are you rejoicing? Weston said, the minister never told me what the patient said, but it wasn't very polite. Yeah. Do not minimize other people's pain. Next verse. 21 and 22. If your enemies are hungry, give them food to eat. If they are thirsty, give them water to drink. You will heap burning coals of shame on their heads, and the Lord will reward you. And there we have an American GI helping, bringing first aid to a German soldier. You know, the scriptures, this verse is repeated by the Apostle Paul in Romans 12. It is a biblical principle from cover to cover. That if you claim to be a Christian, you love your enemies. Do you claim to be a Christian? Who is it that you really hate or dislike in a very strong way? Guess what? Jesus says, love them. God says, feed them, clothe them, bring them water. Care for their needs. That can be really hard when they really hurt and offend you. It can be really hard. This is probably one of the hardest things you might think. There's just no way I could ever do that. Remember, potential energy, kinetic energy. I'm not saying you can do it. You just got to try harder. No, God's Spirit in you gives you the power to do something that in your heart and mind you would never do otherwise. You would never do. We need to overcome evil with good. And I shared this story 2 weeks ago of the situation, this altercation between myself and our former building owners where our business was at. And just the very hostile and unreasonable demands that were going on there. What's my response? I was counseled. I told you guys, I was counseled. Cut ties. Forget it. It wasn't in the contract that you are going to leave the place spick and span with every article removed. It's done. It's over. Your responsibility with that property is over. That's how I was counseled by several people. I went and got God's counsel. Specifically, God shared with me Matthew 5. Matthew 5, when Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount said this, if someone forces you to go with them 1 mile, what should you do? Go with them 2. They didn't ask you to go 1 mile. They forced you to go 1 mile. Go with them 2. Being a Christian is not an easy life. It's like, seriously, Jesus? Impossible to live this way without accessing the power of God. Although it's going to burn you out. You're going to say, I tried it and it didn't work. You know, have you ever had that thought? I tried Christianity and it didn't work. I've had people tell me that. You know, you tried it in your own strength and it will never work. in your own strength, it won't work. Of course it won't work, because it's impossible in your own strength. You need to access this power of God, this potential energy that's in you via the Holy Spirit. Then you will find the power and the strength to live the Christian life. Otherwise, forget about it. It's not going to work. And so what did I do with? I told this guy, and Rex says, you realize you just accepted going back and doing everything for them? It's like, yes, I did. I said, I will rent a dumpster. I will get some friends, and we will clean everything out of that building. And we did, with the help of some friends. Thank you for those who helped me do that. And what an example that was to him. But even if it wasn't an example to him, it was to Jesus. God says, hey, your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. All right, we're moving on. Verse 23. What do we got left for time, Bob? I don't have my phone. What? 11:40. So we're going to wrap this up. As surely as a north wind brings rain, so a gossiping tongue causes anger. Very similar to this other verse. A lot of the Proverbs, guys, if you're wondering, how can I just be a better person? Read the book of Proverbs. It's going to give you the practical wisdom you need to be a better person. I'll say even to be a Christ-like person. And so, talking about somebody behind their back, yeah, it's going to get angry looks. Not just from the person you're talking about when they find out that you are talking about them. You know who else you're going to get angry looks from? Maybe not to your face, but the person you're talking to about somebody else. Why? Because intrinsically we know if you're willing to gossip about that person, then you will be willing to gossip about me. And you will get angry looks. It is a lose-lose to gossip about somebody. Rather than saying something negative about people, look and find the positive to share about other people. You can talk behind my back about positive things all you want. You have my permission. Bob shares with me a really good story. He was inspecting a home, and he found out the guy worked at Realcor. Gotcha, Peter? So this guy worked at Realcor. So Bob asked him, do you know Carl? Oh, yeah, he says. Opportunity to gossip. Well, you know what he did last week. Nope, he says, yeah, I know him. He's a hard worker. That's what he said. He's a hard worker. That's the kind of gossip we want. Good gossip. Gossip that encourages others. That doesn't produce an angry look, but a smile and joy to the heart. That's the reputation your dad has. The hard worker. The good one. Let's move on to the next one. Okay, we'll end with this one. This one is, of course, something I really enjoy. No, it's not the... this is the one I'm like... Okay, this is not the one in my... No, this is great. It's better to live alone in the corner of an attic than to live than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home. Okay. Okay. This was not the verse I was going to talk about. But let the message be known. Don't be a quarrelsome person. Don't be a nag. You know, don't be irritating. Don't report a matter over and over again. You find out that this person doesn't like something. This is the worst, guys. This is a violation of a common courtesy. Here it comes. If you find out something about somebody that they don't like, don't just keep doing it over and over and over again. Don't say, hey, they don't like this, therefore, I'm going to do it all the more. Isn't that funny? No, it's not. I did it once as a college student. Good friend, first guy I ever led to Christ. We were good friends. We were roommates. I found out something he didn't like. I kept on mentioning it over and over again, and boy, did it not end well. And it stands out in my mind how angry he was, how distant he was when we went down to eat his breakfast. And I just like, I really blew it. Yeah, I did. And I had to apologize and ask for forgiveness. So, that one being said, let's go on to verse. That's the right. The other one was verse 25. This one's 24. This is my landing point, guys. Good news from far away is like cold water to the thirsty. Guys, good news, of course, is wide open. Any positive, encouraging report about a situation, it's always fun to hear and to share. We can narrow this down as Christians, followers of Christ, to the gospel. The word gospel means good news. That's what the word means. Like, what does that word even mean? It means good news. And boy, is it good news. Guys, it is fun and refreshing to talk about the gospel. It is fun and refreshing. It's like, it's uncomfortable. I don't know what to say. That's because you've never really been doing it. Try it. Work through the uncomfortability. Start talking. And when I say the gospel, don't feel like, well, you got to start with John, you know, First John says, you know. No, you don't have to start with the beginning. The gospel is anything that involves the amazing work of Jesus Christ on the cross to save a sinner's soul. And this can come in all sorts of different angles and touches. The gospel's good news. Get used to talking about Jesus and the things he's doing in your life or has done in your life all the time. Think about talking about that all the time. Rather than talking about yourself and one-upping people, you know, rather than talking about others, how bad they are, all the bad things they've done, talk about Jesus. Make Jesus your favorite thing to talk about. We all know that people have favorite things to talk about. Oh yeah, so-and-so, he loves to talk about, you know, the cyclone. So-and-so, he loves to talk about, you know, video games. So, you know, we can always, we know. Believe me, guys. We know. If you have a habit of only talking about one thing, we know. How about make it a habit of talking about Jesus? That guy always talks about Jesus. Some people might not like that, but use wisdom. But it is good news from a far away. It's like cold water to the thirsty. It is refreshing. Good news. To talk about positive things is encouraging. It is fun. It is God's will. This is what love looks like. All those Proverbs 25, go home, read the whole chapter for yourself. What love looks like. It's like, you know, God's given you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is potential energy. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is, the first one is, the fruit of the Spirit is love, the first thing. Chapter 25 in Proverbs, it teaches you the practicals on how to love people. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you, God, for your word. Oh, it just, you know, it's like, it expands my mind. It opens up my mind, my line of sight to see things that before I was blind to. It's like, I didn't know. I didn't know that going to my door, my floor mate's place so much was wearing him out, was making him angry. He actually didn't even want to see me at the door anymore. I didn't know that repeating this thing wasn't funny. It wasn't fun. He didn't like it. I didn't know until all of a sudden it blew up in my face. Your word shed light on those blind areas of our lives. And now we know what love looks like. I pray, God, that the power of your Spirit in us would give us the power that we need to be more than we can be. We never had. So thank you, God, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.